Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
They say a good neighbor is worth their weight in gold.
Yep.
What sucks, however, when someone new moves in, you have to wait a while to find out if that person is someone you'll get along with.
Mm-hmm.
Or so we thought.
No, you can get a jump on it, son.
Recent events have Tommy Mulet on a mission.
Yeah.
A mission that he is convinced will let him know soon if this new person is someone that he wants around.
Mm-hmm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Big things happen in your neighborhood, buddy.
Yeah. Getting some new neighbors moved in.
Okay.
Sold the joint and new guy moved in.
I mean, it is funny. Like, the excitement is palpable in a neighborhood when you watch those moving trucks pull in for the first time.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And, you know, the place was raggedy. Well, it was
before they moved in.
Yeah. The place was raggedy. What? Okay. You're making a face.
Pittsford raggedy.
Bro, it was like your dad lived there. You know what I'm talking about.
You were saying?
So, new folk move in.
Okay.
So, I'm keeping an eye on things. See how I can tell a lot on the move in.
About the people moving in.
You can, man. You can tell the level of a person, how they move into a place.
Can you give me an example?
Okay. So, if I see a commercial moving truck move in with professional, you know, guys, the guy's on point. But if I see your busted ass beer buddies and your 3-tone rusted out pickup with like a refrigerator dangling off the back like a dead dong, we got some rough business going on.
So you're telling me, first off, if you see people moving themselves without professional movers,
your booze buddies. And I'm talking about your booze buddies, and you know who you are because y'all had time off on a Tuesday to do this. So y'all got nothing going on. You're no good, nothing going on a Tuesday move crew.
So self-movers will be busted.
Self-movers and loud music on the move-in.
Loud music on the move-in? Why would you not be?
A lot of vaping.
What's...
If you got your vaping booze crews coming
Shut
in.
Shut up. Shut up trying to make rhymes. That's all you're trying to do.
Vaping booze crews, move-in
CMF
buddies.
T-shirt wearing.
Okay.
What?
So you need to see professional movers.
Yeah.
But I know that you get really, I almost cursed. I'm so frustrated with you right now. I know you get really weird because you're like a little fox that's like running around the neighborhood, like peering at all kinds of things. What else are you looking at?
So I had to walk Lily, a dog, the other day, right? So prime opportunity.
Take a peek.
Yeah. So the guys had just left. They were on their, you know, their toke break. And no, but these are good guys.
Oh, look at you, you bitch ass bitch.
No, but this guy's a good guy.
He's a good guy. I can see him.
He used the pros.
No, I'm just kidding, guys.
Sorry, it's good. Hey, we had a lot of fun back there, but
the garage was open.
Okay.
So I could get a good view of the garage.
You stared at his garage?
I kind of went up a little bit.
No, you didn't.
Not up. Everybody left.
You went snooping in his garage.
Well, like, you know, I used the dog. Oh, she wants to sniff. She probably smells a, you know, squirrel.
What is wrong with you? I love how you say they left. Like, they don't have cameras. How do you know they don't have cameras?
I don't think they put them in yet.
How would you know?
I don't.
I guess you'll find out when he comes over and asks you, why are you in my garage?
I wasn't in the garage. I was just up a little bit looking in.
What did you see in the garage?
It looked pretty much on point.
Okay.
But not a lot of crap.
What's crap?
You know crap when you see
it. No, I don't. Tell me what crap is.
It's like stuff that just like, you're never going to use that. Like if I see any kind of like barrel full of junk.
You're an idiot. What is a barrel full of junk?
How do you know what's in there? Do you go looking through the barrel?
It's junk. It looks raggedy. Like your stuff's rusty. It looks raggedy.
Barrel of junk, one of the worst strip clubs here in the greater Rochester area.
Not necessarily. You guys are into that. But, you know, like, if your stuff looks old and nasty and, you know what I mean?
Okay.
It looked on point. Like, he was organized. I guess it's organization.
All right. The phone number is 252 to BCMF, 252-9263. What can you see or not see that lets you know someone new to the neighborhood will eventually be a good neighbor? Because you do know none of these things are actually telling you anything.
Every time I see this, I'm on point.
Okay. Kimmy.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the real people that moved in. until like 6 months after they have moved
it's
in.
It's winter.
Right.
Yes. Getting settled into a new home is hard.
Yeah, it takes a little while.
But they're doing stuff. They're popping. They're moving.
It also alters your life. You are not your real person after you moved for at least 6 months.
Yeah, but if I see you like actively taking care of the place.
Well, but you may not have time to do that yet because you're still settling your stuff. Like, because, like, for instance, we moved in the fall to our house. Yeah. So, like, when spring came around, like, we didn't get into the gardening right away because we wanted to see what came up first.
That's
like, I don't even know if this is a weed or a plant. We got to find out. But it took us a little bit to, like, get all that stuff, all the outdoor stuff settled out. So I'm sure, like, there are probably people looking at us like, man, that place looks like a mess. But, you know, we're figuring it out.
Yeah, but then you went inside.
I would give somebody a solid year before I really judged how they maintain.
I got to do it out the. I got to. Hey, another thing I'll tell you too, if I see, and this is a tell. Uh-huh. What is with you?
You're just so dumb because you got this stupid grin on your face, like you think you figured something out. You're just.
I'm right.
Okay, keep going.
If I see a power washer out first thing,
yeah,
that's a good guy.
Those things cost like $100.
No, but he's cleaning. He's taking care of business. Like,
you're in the middle of like moving in and getting all your stuff settled. Potentially, you probably have to buy furniture. You realize there are things that you need.
These aren't young people. These are
okay, but there are things that you're gonna adjust when you're in a new place. And you, like, do you think that person's first instinct is I better order a power washer so I can?
They were spraying and cleaning, man. That tells me this people are getting after it.
Okay, look.
And I didn't see any yard crap either.
What's yard crap?
The stuff you did, you know, busted ass shed, raggedy trampoline with no protection.
With no protection.
Oh my God.
Dog on a zip line.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. If I got to see some like.
So, like, you don't want neighbors with children then?
No, I don't mind kids if they're on a zip line.
No, you do, because this is all stuff that they may have.
Put them on the line.
All right, by the way, on top of that, nothing you have just described seeing will tell you if they're actually people you can get along with.
Yeah. As long as they just take care of the place.
Bull crap. They could have great lawn furniture, they could have a high-end car, and they can be a massive dick. In fact, Kimmy, I would argue the more buttoned up somebody looks, the nicer the lawn furniture, the nicer the car, the more likely they are to be a dick, no?
But that's what I'm looking for.
You're looking
a buttoned-up dick?
Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah, I like them.
Just because
you want a you next door.
I love me, yeah. Sound like me next door? I want someone laid back.
They're not too laid back.
Shut up.
Then you got a slack hole. You're going to have a slack hole house.
Just because you think you have certain things in common doesn't mean your personalities are going to mesh. Because really, when you think about it, when you have two, quote, buttoned-up neighbors.
Yeah.
They have different ideas of what that looks like.
And they're control,
cool guys.
And they're control freaks. You have the competitive nature of men, whose lawn will be nicer, which causes friction. You have buttoned-up guy, who is more likely to be a control freak, which causes friction. You can't tell me that if you move next door to you, you wouldn't hate yourself.
I'd love me.
You already hate yourself, and you don't even live next to you. I mean, don't you think that's true of most men? Do you think 252 to BCMF? If you moved next door to you, would most men hate themselves as a neighbor?
But most guys would probably say they'd love another version of themselves next door.
Think about it, though.
All right.
You think that you could live next to you?
Another funny, handsome guy next door?
Wait, there's someone next to you, next to you? No, because like you think you have the best lawn in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's verified.
Okay, so then you're moving in next to you, who also believes... He's doing all the same work, putting in all that. That would drive you nuts.
Yeah.
Oh. So, like, if we were even Steven, I would be pissed.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't be a notch above the other guy. Well, that would create a little.
Okay. Yeah.
You'd also never talk. You would never talk.
Hey, Tommy. Hey, Tommy. Tommy.
I'd do the wave.
Hey, pal. Hey, Tommy. Tommy.
Yeah. It'd be very brief conversation.
Stay with me, Tommy. You'd also catch each other staring at each other all the time.
Those bug eyes looking at over there.
252 to BCMF, 252-9263. Tommy has new neighbors moving in, and he's been watching them through the window, thinking that he's getting a heads up on what kind of people
they
are going to be.
Well, you get a feel for people, how they do, who the people they hired like to work around their house.
Oh, I disagree. You've never had those neighbors where it's like they seem great and everything's cool, and then all of a sudden like one thing happens and it changes your entire opinion of
them? Well, that might happen eventually.
So then how would any of this help you?
I don't know. It's entertainment.
No, I mean, this has happened to me with multiple neighbors where it's like, okay, everything's cool, everything seems fine, and either they get too comfortable and tell me something they shouldn't.
That's true.
Or like an incident happens where it's like, whoa, and then it completely, not only does it change the way you feel about them, it also changes the context in which you saw this stuff before.
All right.
Right? Like
what your opinion?
Yes, guy who was like, quote, buttoned up, as you put it, is now just a complete control freak, and that's why he was doing the things he was doing.
But then I see, you know, I see a button-up guy. I'm not going to get, like, sketchy people hanging out at his house.
Button-up doesn't mean no sketch. Bro, you were button-up in Webster. You and your buddies blowing through people's mailboxes.
Well, now. I don't have sketch hanging around now. I don't have any friends.
Good point.
I chased them all away.
Okay. Like, you kept your house looking really nice.
Yeah.
And then you would have the biggest disasters of human beings over at your house.
Yeah. But those are coworkers.
Including listeners. Listeners and coworkers to WCMF.
Yeah.
Oops. Kimmy, have you had anyone move in after you?
No.
Yeah, no new neighbors
yet? No, we haven't.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, like there was somebody like recently at the end of our street, but not anybody that we see often.
So you're still the new neighbors?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, we are.
That really sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Because like you are not off the hook.
Yeah.
And like I do believe you're not officially one of the neighborhood.
Until a new person, until we're like no longer the new guys.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been waiting for that, but it hasn't happened yet.
Because I'll be honest with you, now that I'm thinking, I don't think any. I moved into my house like 14 years ago.
Yeah, you've been there forever.
I don't know if there's anyone in like my general range of homes that has moved in.
Oh.
Since.
Really?
I think everyone's been there the whole time.
Damn. You're still the newbie?
Yeah.
Do you think it's sometimes easier being the new neighbor in terms of getting to know other people? Because a lot of the times, like, they'll reach out to you first.
Like, come over
like
and introduce yourself.
Welcoming new neighbors
awkward,
or, like, you know, wanting to get to know you. Like, I feel like you don't have to reach out as much when you're the new neighbor because everybody kind of introduces themselves first.
You're right about that. Wait a minute. You just said this awkward. Have you not introduced yourself to the people that just moved in?
I'm surprised your wife hasn't made you do it.
She'll go over. She's the house rep.
So I just
she'll make the cupcakes and then bring them over.
Just to be clear, you've been staring at them out the window.
Yeah.
You've been taking notes about what they're doing.
Up the driveway.
You went up their driveway with your dog, and you have not introduced yourself
yet. No. I wait. Cool it up. I don't want to rush a guy. I also don't like that. I hate those interactions.
Okay.
Because I hate when people come over and do it to me.
Mm. I understand, but this person may be looking for something like that to feel welcomed into the neighborhood.
He's going to be disappointed when my ass shows up.
Okay, can I point something out that how did you not realize this, you idiot?
Right.
252 WCMF.
So let me down easy.
252 WCMF. Tommy has a new neighbor moving in, and he's been staring out the window. He believes he can tell what kind of person you are moving in based on little things, like whether or not you hire movers, how nice your car is, what kind of, quote, barrels of junk are in your garage. You are getting a gauge for this person who moved in. They're also getting a gauge from you.
Yeah, they're probably, like, really excited.
No. You haven't introduced yourself.
No.
You've kind of been showing up around their house. Like, don't think they haven't noticed you.
A little walk by with the dog.
You think they haven't noticed you snooping?
Slowing down as you walk by.
Mm. They may be so busy.
No, like, they think you're an effing weirdo, man. How did you not introduce yourself?
How am I a weirdo? Little guy walking, little dog, creepily walking by with shades on.
Had you.
And a hat.
Had you introduced yourself?
Hi, I'm Tommy. I'm your neighbor.
Yeah, well, don't say it in that voice.
My house is owned by my wife.
Yeah.
I have a pathetic job.
Yep.
And I'm home at 10 in the morning, but I'm not a drug dealer.
How hard would that have been?
I guess it sounds better when I say it in that voice.
Kimmy, how long do you have to wait, in your opinion, to go introduce yourself to someone when they move in?
Oh, sometimes while you're moving, somebody will do that.
No, because then you got to help.
Yeah,
no.
I'm with him. I'm not sure about other movies.
Boxes have got to be in, man. Hey, can you grab the other end of this?
I don't think it's uncommon because that may be the first time they catch you outside. Like, even if they don't mean to go over, they'll see you and they feel like they have to say something because you're both outside together.
Okay.
But my wife will bake and bring that stuff over. So that's a good one. So I don't want to ruin that.
No, but that you're not going to go over with her.
No, but then she'll break the ice.
Okay. You're an idiot.
No, it works better this way. It's a better buffer because my wife is pleasant.
This is
you shouldn't send your most unpleasant member of your household out first.
I agree with you, but if you're going to snoop.
You do that in war.
If you're going to snoop,
what?
You have to introduce first. It's how it is.
Hi, Tommy. Going to be doing a little snooping. I'm going to judge the ladders and junk in your driveway.
I think it is inferred, if I'm using that word the right way, that if you are introducing yourself, you will be snooping.
Yeah, but I don't want to put it on the radar.
Bro, he knows. He's not stupid.
No, but he may be busy.
Okay. Everybody knows when someone is looking at their house. You know that, too. You'll see someone walk by. You know when they're looking at your house.
Well, yeah, because they're so dazzled.
Yeah, it's got to be what it is. All right, let's take a break.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
This sounds impressive.
Oh.
And I guess witnessing this would be awesome because you're in a tiny little gymnasium with a whole bunch of NFL stars. But when you watch the video, what happened?
What happened?
Is it embarrassing?
I think it's based on who else was playing and participating that makes it a little embarrassing.
So you said there's other pro athletes there.
Sure, there were a couple of those.
Yeah. Okay. Not all.
So what happened?
You're hanging out in the break room, brought to just Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. So the Bills are all done with mandatory minicamp. We won't see them all together again until they are at St. John Fisher University for training camp. And in the meantime, they're just doing charity work and fun stuff.
Yeah.
For example, over the weekend, DeMar Hamlin had his annual Chasing M celebrity basketball game. And after everything that happened with DeMar Hamlin, this has become a huge deal.
Oh, I'm sure.
So he invited all of his Bills, teammates to come play.
Yeah.
Keon Coleman, Bills wide receiver. Love that kid.
Funny guy.
Yep. He decided to show up. And there's a reason. He's got a basketball background.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he went to Florida State, right?
Oh, he finished at Florida State. Bless you, Kimmy. He started his college career at Michigan State, where he was recruited to both play football and basketball.
Okay.
He played 6 games with the Michigan State basketball team. And yesterday, he put on a clinic in the Chasing M's charity basketball.
Kind of cool.
Dropped 60 points.
60 oh, my points. God.
So he scored all the points.
So who's he playing? Who are they playing against?
Well, that's a thing.
What?
I saw some kids out there.
No.
There was like at one point, like there was a woman guard. I don't know who.
It was like mom on the court.
Yeah, like I don't know. It definitely wasn't all athletes. It could have been some like local people participating.
So he's
like, he was just dunking. I mean, he was like, it was to the point where nobody's even guarding him anymore. They just kind of let him do his thing.
Yeah.
So he was just crushing.
I'm watching the video right now.
He is like moms and kids.
It's as serious as a heart attack. Yeah. Like he must have had like 15 windmill highlight dunks. He's dropping threes over people's heads. He's got the ball at the point. He's clearing the court. So we go 1-on-1.
Not passing the ball to any of his teammates.
It's the funniest. And he's serious as a heart attack.
And he did this the whole game.
Everybody else is kind of smiling and laughing, and he's not.
Because he comes across as a pretty loose, fun person.
Yeah.
Okay. So
look, he was having fun.
But he's not smiling at all.
Yeah.
One of two things have happened.
What?
Either Keon Coleman is the most competitive human being that ever existed, which, I mean, I guess in your line of work would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
Or nobody told Keon Coleman, this is all for fun.
He's got to have been at these before. Thing.
He's only in his second year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by now, even in college, don't they do some of the charity work too?
I don't know. I don't remember that stuff.
It is funny when athletes do these types of events, because there is a separation that happens when they take on that challenge. And we've seen it with like the softball games and, whatever other pickup sports they're playing. There are some guys that just go above and beyond because they want to win regardless of what this is for, what it means. And then there are other guys that are just there to have fun, make some jokes, make people laugh. And when those two meet, I can't believe there aren't more fights that happen based on the super competitive guys and the guys that don't care.
So we've been fortunate enough, Kimmy, to play in some of these charity games with celebrities. And it is shocking, to Kimmy's point, the difference between how some guys are just like, hey, we're here to have fun, and some guys
just can't turn it off.
They just want to win all the time, no matter what it is.
You got it. For example, there is a gentleman, God rest his soul, former Amex goalie, played for the Bruins for 3 seasons. His name's Jim Petty. They call him Seaweed. You know this guy?
Maybe.
You should. George Plimpton. God, what was the book?
Oh, Paper Lion.
You got it. But the hockey version he did, he lived with Jim Petty.
Oh, okay.
And, he followed him around. And so George Plimpton was an author, British guy.
Mm-hmm.
His hook for a couple of his books was he would learn how to play a professional sport.
Yeah, and then write about it.
So
yeah.
He played for the Detroit Lions at a preseason game. He played goalie for the Boston Bruins at a preseason game. So he lived with Jim Petty. And I read this book when I was a kid, and I love this book. Mm. Now, I'd never met Jim Petty before, right? So this is like 12 years ago. We're playing a charity hockey game locally. He's one of the goalies. And this guy is like 70.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old gentleman.
Yeah.
Shows up all his old school gear, and I have the book with me.
Right.
And I want him to autograph.
Yeah.
And he goes, "What the hell is this?"
What do you mean?
And I go, it's the book here. He goes, "Yeah, everyone shows me that book all the time. I starts getting like."
He was pissed?
I wouldn't say pissed. I mean, I think irritated? He was trying to make a joke, but it was funny. So, like, no, I don't know. I just sit down with my book, right? David Andrietta, our buddy, used to write for the DNC, XXI, comes in with the book. "Hey, I love you. Could you sign the book?" Bro, so, again, it's a charity game.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Right. So I thought, I'm playing defense. Petty's a goalie.
And this guy's in his
70s. He's in his 70s. Still looks great. Playing great.
Yeah.
Gets scored on. He chewed me out.
Why?
Because I go, "Hey, you're supposed to break the line." I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Told the story about how Rob Ray like went after my brother for taking too slow a chain.
Yeah.
There's another former Buffalo Sabre who will remain nameless who was ready to fight a guy on another team.
On a charity event.
In a charity event because things got a little serious.
They were
going to
drop gloves.
He was looked at.
Some guys just. They can't turn it off. Forever like that.
He was ready to drop gloves. The kid on the other side, thank God, was smart enough to understand to get the hell away from him.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. I mean, we even saw it with those Bills charity softball games.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a sport they don't play. They shouldn't know. They shouldn't be good at it.
But they shouldn't
care.
It's
not something they spend time doing.
Is that your sport, like, where you're disrespecting your sport?
I guess some guys can't turn it off.
Yeah.
If it's not a home run, they're disappointed.
252 WCMF. We're talking about Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman. He played in DeMar Hamlin's charity basketball game over the weekend. 60 points. He scored 60 points.
Yeah.
And a bunch of those points were over like kids and like local celebrities.
And I get like wanting to show off because this is a sport that you also were really, really good at, right? Like you want to put on a little bit of a show. But like after 30 points, you would think, all right, job's done. Time to pull back a little.
Yeah,
let somebody else have a
pass
chance.
The ball, Keon. Yeah. Pass the ball. But here's the thing: like I'm trying to think as like a spectator.
Yeah.
If I go to one of these charity events, I kind of think I want to see Keon Coleman score 60 points.
Well, from that perspective, because you're seeing it, you're getting a show out of it at least. You're seeing some skill.
You know, it's funny. This stuff used to happen all the time, and it's starting to come back again, which is great. Like Micah Hyde does his charity softball game in Buffalo every year. You got, DeMar doing this. LeSean McCoy at his charity softball game at Innovative Field for all those years. I vividly remember as a child, the Bills Super Bowl teams used to travel around upstate New York and play basketball games against like local sheriff's departments and teachers' unions and things.
Yeah.
And I would go to them with my dad, and it was like the greatest thing ever.
I thought they were just working off community service.
Also could have been that. The greatest picture.
So your old man would get in there.
Oh, yeah, we would go. We would go to, he would never play.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't jump in there.
My dad was more of the charity softball game.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
But the greatest picture
too much running in basketball.
That's exactly what it was. The greatest picture I have, it's outside of one of these charity basketball games. Daryl Talley, Bills linebacker.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am like 5.
Yeah.
I'm in a little sweater. I'm all excited. He's down on one knee walking into the game. He's got, it's Jerry Curl Central, man. It's like soul glow.
Yeah.
Like it is damp.
Yeah.
And he's got a Homie D Clown t-shirt from In Living Color on.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's about as early 90s as you could get.
Like it's a time capsule of a photograph. I'm so excited.
Very cute.
Yeah. So I guess from that point, like you said.
Yeah, you won a show.
Yeah. So good job, Keon.
Yeah.
I just hope all his teammates bust his balls about it when they get back to camp.
Oh, I'm sure.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.